Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. He's here with me today. Keeping cool, Ben?
Yes, I am, David. I'm keeping very cool because I'm always cool.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on July 11th, 2013, titled As Schools Starve, Mayor Emanuel Fines $5 Million for Hot Dogs.
Ah, yes. Great story, if I must say so much.
I'm getting that you like this story.
Yes.
In this story that you like, you juxtapose the city's awarding of $5 million to Vienna Beef for a plant relocation.
Mm-hmm.
Plant as in building, not as in rhododendron. Plant relocation, juxtapose that with the layoff of hundreds of public school employees.
Yes.
And specifically, you talk about how the city's tax increment financing program robs the school system of property tax revenue while giving it away to less deserving development projects. The $5 million for the hot dogs to go comes from tax increment financing.
That is correct, Senator.
And I want to talk about that. But first, let's, for the uninitiated, talk about tax increment financing.
How can anybody be uninitiated if anybody's ever listened to the two
of
us?
Well, you're presuming that we don't get new listeners.
Okay, all right. New listeners, this is for you. Old listeners, just put up with this. Go.
Tax increment financing, chartered by the state, that allows municipalities to designate special tax increment financing, or TIF, districts.
Mm-hmm.
In those districts, whatever level of property taxes are collected at the time of the inception of the TIF, if that level of taxes goes up because of, say, increased assessments in the property, then that incremental amount of taxes can go into a special fund that the municipality has for ostensibly development in that district, but is often used for development in neighboring districts.
That would be correct, Senator, everything you just said.
Okay, we won't go into the other parts of it. We can talk about that in a minute. Your article and what I want to talk about has to do with the Sun-Times editorial that appeared on June 14th, 2013, titled How CPS Got Into Its Financial Mess.
Did I mention that editorial in this particular article? I cannot remember.
You blogged about it on June 18th.
Very good.
According to the Sun-Times editorial, it says each year, Chicago Public Schools, or CPS, can only grow property tax revenue by the cap, the increase in the rate of inflation, or 5%, whichever is less. Critics claim, I'm quoting now. Critics claim, who would
critics,
they be talking
Ben,
about?
Ben, there's this weird guy who lives on the north side.
Critics claim that tax increment financing districts siphon roughly $250 million annually.
I'd say it's a little higher, but whatever.
They say roughly.
Roughly, yeah.
From CPS by diverting revenue from property value growth into TIF funds.
Yeah.
But even if the city killed all TIFs, or TIF districts, CPS would not get much new revenue. And then they go on. Remember the tax cap? When property values grow, the cap severely limits how much new revenue CPS can draw from that added value. In other words, most of the $250 million wasn't going to CPS anyway. So I want to dissect that a little bit.
That is just so blatantly cynical. And
is it right? That's what I want to know.
Of course not.
Well, let's talk about why.
There's always a kernel of truth. That's like a talking point that the Board of Ed released in order to justify going along with a program that deprives them of money. It really hurt when I read that in the Sun-Times. I'm a loyal Sun-Times reader. I subscribe to the Sun-Times. It's the first thing I read every day. Granted, I start with the sports section, but then I make my way. I read all the columnists. I read their listings. And to wake up and see that in the Sun-Times was like a blow. I thought I was reading the Tribunal, which I also subscribe to.
To me, the key point here is...
There are many key points.
A key point here is increased assessed value of property versus an increase in the levy, the tax levy that taxing bodies make. So let's talk about this. The money siphoned off of property taxes by tax increment financing districts results from an increase in assessed value of the property in the TIF district. Is that not correct?
Yes.
And it's only that.
First of all, they condensed so much information into several sentences so that effectively it was meaningless. It was written in such a way that most people would have absolutely no idea what they were getting at, unless you're a geek who have dedicated lots of time to studying this issue.
That would be you and me.
Yes. We started off with an explanation of how TIF works for people who don't know what a TIF is. And now we're going to really just dive into the geekiness of it.
That's why people love this.
Okay. The whole point of a TIF, the whole reason it exists, aside from being a slush fund for the mayor, its purpose as an ideal tool is to invest tax dollars paid today into projects that will build the tax base so we have more tax dollars in the future. In its most pure form, that's its purpose. So that you would encourage private developers to invest in low-income blighted communities that they wouldn't ordinarily invest in because the risk is so high. And by investing in them, they take property that's producing very little in tax dollars and they increase the tax yield so that it benefits the public schools and the public parks and all the other taxing bodies who are effectively lending this tax dollars to be invested wisely and prudently.
It is an investment.
It's supposed to be an investment. So if you're the Chicago Public Schools, if you're the fiduciary leaders of the Chicago Public Schools, you should consider each individual TIF project as an investment in your future. And so you should view it as cautiously as you would view your own personal bank accounts. Is this a shrewd and wise investment that'll have a payoff for the school children of Chicago whose fiduciary interests we're looking for?
You are coming back to my question.
Yes. Okay. Here we come. Or is it merely a scam to help the mayor? Most of the time, there's no evidence that they ever look into whether it's in the fiduciary interests of their shareholders or their students or their taxpayers. They just do whatever they're told. Going back to what I said, in its purest form, a TIF is an investment in which you take money today to grow the tax base tomorrow. As a result, the law specifically exempts TIFs from the property tax cap because the whole point of the program, the whole freaking point we have this thing, is to grow the tax base. So you don't want to penalize public schools from investing today's property tax dollars into development schemes that'll grow property tax dollars. You want to encourage them to do it, provided that each investment is a reasonable one and not just a total scam. So as the property tax base grows through TIF development, when the TIF expires, the public schools get to tax that at full extent without affecting their cap. So to say that the cap somehow or other prevents the public schools from yielding the results of TIF growth is to be categorically ignorant of what the whole freaking program is about.
And it's just wrong.
It's the same thing. It's just wrong. It's flat out
wrong.
It's
simply inaccurate.
It's simply inaccurate. Yeah. So I presume the Bright One got this as a talking point from the Board of Education or the mayor's office. That means the Board of Education is either ignorant about how the whole program works, or they're just willfully passing on whatever propaganda point the mayor wants them to pass on.
Gee, I wonder which one it is.
Well, it's a combination of both, really. I mean, they're just merely doing anything they can to justify the existence of a program that deprives them of the money that they need to educate the children of Chicago.
Have you heard from any of your adherents at the Sun-Times in response to your...
No.
That it came from you, an employee of the Sun-Times
yes.
media group.
Well, we're members of separate planets in the Sun-Times universe. And I'm even harder on the Tribunal in the story that's coming out today or tomorrow, whatever it is, which we'll be talking about next week. Their editorials are, I mean, as much as that hurt me in the Sun-Times, I have to say, the Tribune's editorials are consistently so wretched that I read them at my own risk.
Wonder who's writing those.
I have no idea. I don't know who writes the Sun-Times editorials either. So
doesn't Steinberg have some
have no
editorial?
Don't know.
Maybe it's Sneed.
Don't know. Well, maybe it's Sneed.
What else should she do?
I know it's nobody in the sports department.
How do you know that?
I do not know that. Right? I know I'm not writing them.
Not yet. Because don't they keep piling on new tasks for you?
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten to that part yet. You're writing editorials for the Sun-Times? No.
Did anything get left out of the story when it appeared?
There was a whole aspect of the story that I completely ignored because I just thought it was largely irrelevant to this main point I'm making, and that is the machinations of Vienna and their relationship to the city regarding their property and whether they actually had to move, you know, whether the expansion of Elson Avenue imperiled them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I originally thought that they didn't have to move, that they just had to like give up part of their parking lot, which they don't use.
Yeah, they have to sell it. Yeah, so it's not like they're giving it up and they're not getting anything from it.
I saw years ago preliminary plans for this intersection redesign, and it looks like they had to just cut off the east end of this land that is just sitting vacant.
Well, if I would have to go on the other side and make an argument for it, I would say it's probably best for the city to just raise the white flag on manufacturing in this area and sell it off for residential. It's the highest and best use instead of keeping one vestige of manufacturing in this area.
You're saying it's better from a property tax standpoint?
Just from everything, from neighbors interacting with each other. I could make that argument. So that's why I didn't rail against
the move
itself. Of all the things to rail against in the city of Chicago, it's not even in the top 100 or whatever, 50, I don't know what it was. So the point is that I can make an argument, a case for just moving this to Bridgeport, where there seems to be more of a concentrated effort to keep industry, even though that area is gentrifying as well. So the $5 million is essentially the amount of money the property payers of Chicago are paying to enable Vienna to sell that north side property to a developer to develop it into condos or whatever, which would increase the property tax yield. That's the best argument I could make for it. And presumably they'll put condos in there without parking so that everybody have to ride bicycles. And we'll, that'll happen. When will that happen, Dave?
We now hear the bicyclists cheering.
Bicyclists.
Because he threw them a bone,
yeah.
Just like the mayor does.
They're the happiest people in Chicago.
They're all scrambling for the bone. They're fighting over the bone. Look what you've done.
Our fellow bike riders out there, you ask for so little and get even less. And you're so happy with every bike lane the mayor gives you.
We better cut that off right
there. Yes, no, I know. Don't get me started on bike riders.
Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
Listeners, we welcome your suggestions for future interviews. Search for us on Facebook and Twitter by looking for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.